This is Dino Herbert, and thank you so much for joining me on the Dino Herbert Show, Everyday Hero. Today's Everyday Hero is a gentleman by the name of William Patterson. William is the number one business motivational speaker as ranked by ranking.com. He's an award-winning lecturer. He's a best-selling author. And using his trademark approach, the Barron Solution, he coaches, trains, and motivates business leaders, sales professionals, and entrepreneurs. His book, The Barron Son, has been translated around the world. He's been featured on over 400 TV and radio programs. Let's listen in to this dynamic interview.
Dino, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us, sir. Just as a little bit of background for you, the Dino Herbert Show, Everyday Hero, is meant for aspiring entrepreneurs, young entrepreneurs, and also those who are considering getting involved. And so I wanted to make sure that I had an opportunity to interview you and talk to you because I believe that you can shed some light on what's going on and help out young aspiring entrepreneurs. Why don't you, William, tell us first a little bit about your background and how you came to be where you are today?
Absolutely. Well, my background was initially in electrical engineering, and I later moved into doing program and project management for a number of Fortune 100 and 500 companies. I later decided to branch out on my own after having a reasonable degree of success as an investor. I started my own financial holding company, which was the Walkoffer Capital Group, LLC. We do staged investments in private businesses and also high-end commercial real estate ventures. And in the late 90s, early 2000s, when the stock market had crashed, my two co-authors, Vicki Therese Davis and D. Marcus Patton, and I decided to come up with a book that could serve as an ethical guidebook to wealth, power, and success. It was based loosely on our experiences running a financial holding company and Vicki Therese Davis running an international jewelry company, as well as our research of a number of Fortune 100 executives that we had a chance to work with, as well as many top politicians, professional athletes. And we wanted to come up with the strategies that they had been able to use successfully, not only to have breakthrough experiences in their own life, but to train other people to duplicate their success. As such, we created our best-selling book, The Barron Son, which is the story of a young boy who loses everything and through struggle finds the secret to become the richest, most powerful person in the world. The book was endorsed by billionaire Bob Johnson, quite a few others, and later went on to be translated in a number of languages around the world and became the foundation for our approach, The Barron Solution, which teaches a person how they can tap into their passion, their great idea, and bring support to that idea so that they can create a legacy for future generations.
Excellent, excellent. That's all excellent stuff. I've been to your website, William, and I see that you have a lot of things going on. TheBarronSeries.com. Why don't you tell my listeners a little bit, kind of an overview of all of the services that you provide for everyone that you're providing services to?
Absolutely. BarronSeries.com is our wealth coaching and business coaching platform. We teach an integrated approach to building wealth that leverages the major wealth-building vehicles, the stock market, real estate, and entrepreneurship. And we teach a five-step action plan for building wealth. Number one is getting control of your debt, because it's very difficult for a person to build wealth when they're paying 18 to 30% interest on their credit cards. Number two is building up a cash reserve so that they can take advantage of the investment opportunities that present themselves, as well as handle any emergencies that come up. The third thing is putting in place a long-term investment portfolio so that a person can have hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions, by the time they retire. Then the fourth piece is learning to put in place a cash flow portfolio where you create and acquire assets that produce income. That income eventually surpasses your expenses and allows you to retire from your job and to focus on number five, which is your great business idea, your multi-million dollar business idea. We teach that everyone has a multi-million dollar business idea inside them. They just need help bringing structure to that idea and also getting others to help support it, whether that's through financing or pulling together the right team. So based on our approach to Barron Solution, we created a lot of niche programs. We have our Barron Young Millionaires program, which focuses on young people in schools. We have programs geared specifically for women entrepreneurs. And we have a lot of niche programs for speakers, authors, as well as retail businesses, import-export businesses. So there are really about 30 different businesses that we support through our Barron Solution coaching program directly in terms of startup guides, but we work with people who are running T-shirt businesses in Florida to people doing manufacturing plants in China. We work with people who literally can't pay their next bill to people running multi-million dollar corporations and people with multi-million dollar net worth.
Excellent, excellent. Now, before I want to kind of shift focus and talk about entrepreneurs and small business in this particular economy, but I was listening to your five steps and your Barron Solution. Do you recommend, I understand you recommend those happen in that order, debt and cash reserves and investment portfolio and cash portfolio and then the great business idea. What happens if I'm an entrepreneur perhaps and I've already started a business and maybe I didn't get all of the steps 1 through 4 taken care of? Can you still help me as an entrepreneur in that particular situation?
Absolutely. And those five steps are not necessarily to be done, let's say, one after the other. They can actually be done at the same time, and we actually encourage you to do them at the same time for the reason, one, you need to get control of the debt. Number two, you're always going to need that cash reserve in place, and we show you some different strategies. Most people, even if they think they're living paycheck to paycheck, can actually find about $500 to $6,000 in their budget, their family budget, that they can use to invest to start a business. And these are just simple strategies and simple things that people can use, everything such as buying products and services in bulk, going to wholesale clubs. Again, if you restructure your debt a certain way, you'll find an additional several hundred, perhaps several thousand dollars a year just by restructuring debt that you can apply toward a business. And, of course, putting in place the long-term investment portfolio because, as every entrepreneur knows, there are ups and downs. And you don't want your retirement totally dependent on the success of your business. And then when you do the cash flow portfolio, so many entrepreneurs say, I'm working 40 hours, 60 hours, 80 hours a week, and I just don't have the time to devote to the business. That's where that cash flow portfolio comes in because it starts to help you to generate those passive and residual income streams that will allow you to own your time. And then focus on number five, the multi-million dollar idea. Of course, when you start your own business, the income that you generate can help you pay down your debt faster. It can help you generate more income to contribute to that long-term portfolio and give you more cash and more resources to apply toward that cash flow portfolio as well. So it is important to do them all at the same time, and it just takes some skills, some coaching, some advice in order to be able to manage those effectively and minimize your risk.
That's good. That's good information to have. I appreciate that. So I want to talk a little bit about small businesses or entrepreneurs starting and operating in this economic crisis that many people have termed this particular recession. One of the things that I talk about is that now is a good time to take advantage of some opportunities. A lot of people see the negative side of the recession and are focused on the danger, the risk portion of it. But something I promulgate and encourage people that now may be an opportunity to take advantage of some things. Would you recommend that in some circumstances would now be a good time to start a business?
Absolutely. I actually think every time is a great opportunity to start a business, and particularly this environment, because it's going to focus you, it's going to make sure that you're focused on the fundamentals and that you're doing the right things right in the right order and building the right team. I always say that when you go into business, you're not selling a product or a service, you're solving a problem. And as long as you solve problems, you're creating value for people, and that value is the greatest attracting force of money in the world. But let's go back to this concept of solving a problem. When you're in an environment like this, that's what many people see. That's sometimes the only thing that people see are problems. So if you're able to figure out, hey, what problem am I solving for this particular market or this particular niche audience? What problem am I solving for CEOs? What problem am I solving for nonprofit businesses? What problem am I solving for women? What problem am I solving for a specific ethnic group? What problem am I solving for young people? And you begin to create products and services that solve that problem, and you also look at what things do they need before, during, and after the time they're using that product or service, you start to see ways in which you can expand your product line and create greater value and greater income in this environment. A lot of people are focused on cutting costs. They see an environment like this and they say, wow, let me drop my prices because people aren't able to afford the same products and services that I, or at least afford to pay the same rate that I was charging for my products and services previously. But instead, they really should be looking at ways in which they can increase the value that they deliver to that customer segment and increasing the value of that solution for that customer's problem.
Excellent. That's good. I know that I did a little CD called How to Do a Startup During Downtime, and one of the things I talk about there, there are many corporations that are household names now started during recessions, such as Microsoft and Hewlett-Packard and Disney and Burger King and Wikipedia. And so we have some examples of companies that started during recessions, and so we, it's not something that we should shy away from and be afraid of. And it's interesting that you mentioned pricing, because I've heard some advertisements for, say, facelifts, et cetera, which are kind of high-end products, and they're steadily putting that information out there so that people will buy those products, even though they're, quote-unquote, a luxury item. They're still promoting their products there.
Well, of course, there are people who are affected more severely by recessions, and there are wealthy people who perhaps have enough assets that they're not as deeply affected as other people, which mm-hmm. speaks to one of the other major points is making sure that you're starting with the right customer segment to begin with, people who can afford to participate in the opportunity that you have to offer, or who can afford to buy the product or service that you have to offer. Now, if you do target a group, let's say, that may not be able to afford your products and services directly, you can always look at pulling in sponsorship and other forms and using advertising to supplement that cost so that you can still provide a useful service to a particular demographic. But you always want to make sure that you are starting with the right customer segment, and that's actually one of our four keys for doubling your sales in less than a year.
Now, I imagine as a small business owner, as an entrepreneur, I may need to do some cutting back during times like these because it's just affected everyone. What sort of recommendations would you make if I have to do some cutting? How would you suggest that I go about doing that? Are there certain areas you would suggest I cut versus other areas? What recommendations would you give to a young entrepreneur?
Well, one of the first things that I would do is I'd look at this idea of cost cutting to begin with, just to make sure that it is actually the right decision. When you're looking at, or I'll say the way that most people look at cutting costs in a recession or trying to reduce expenses, they're saying, wow, I really need to reduce the overhead that the business has. Instead, they really should be focused on how can I increase profitability, or how can I increase income and sustain profitability. That's really where the focus should be. And the answer may not actually be cutting costs, but increasing them. So you really want to ask yourself, what is going to be the best way for me to increase my income and sustain profitability in this environment? Now, if there are instances where you really do need to cut costs, you want to outsource those functions which are not your core competency. If you're a small kind of solopreneur, you want to make sure that you're outsourcing those things that you're not particularly passionate about, or, again, are not your core competency. But you don't want to cut into the knowledge base of your company. This is what you see with a lot of major corporations. They want to cut personnel because it's the easiest thing to cut. Unfortunately, they begin to cut into the knowledge base and the core competencies of the business, and it creates this death spiral. But one of the major reasons why you can't focus purely on cost cutting is because at a certain point, you can no longer cut costs. You have to increase income. And you get down and you start cutting bone, and you really destroy the company. So you really want to focus first on how can I increase income or revenue and sustain profitability, and then you begin to look at ways in which you can make the operation more efficient by outsourcing those services which are not your core competency, or again, if you're a small solopreneur, things that you're not particularly passionate about or skilled at.
Okay. So how do I, and I think you mentioned your four keys, how do I go about increasing income?
Number one, again, is making sure that you have the right customer segment or segments. Of course, there are other people that need your products and services. And if you stop thinking about your business from the standpoint of I'm selling a product or service to the point of I'm selling or I'm solving a problem, you can now look at your business and say, what problem can I solve for a different niche market? I've been able to take one book, The Barren Sun, and turn it into over 150 other products and services because I'm able to take the strategies that we use and use that to solve problems across various industries, and you can create and develop niche products that way. So number one, making sure that you are targeting companies and people who can afford to pay for your product or service. You look at let's say the jewelry industry, a company like Tiffany's. Tiffany's is able to charge 10 times the markup of other companies because of the strength of their brand. So you really in the market that they target. So that's a key point. The second point, look at your product and service line. Make sure you're offering the highest margin, highest value products and services out there. We work with a lot of clients who happen to be speakers, authors, coaches, and so forth. And for those clients that, let's say, may be authors, they're going out and they're marketing a $20 book, but compared to some of the higher-end services that they could be offering, it's very you'd have to sell hundreds of books to equal those higher-end coaching, consulting, speaking services, and so forth. So you really want to look at your product and your service line for ways in which you can offer higher value and higher margin products and services to your customer base. So that's another thing. And you can look at what products and services do people need before, during, and after the time they use your product and service. We call this vertical integration or backward and forward integration. And if you can answer that question, it tells you the types of products and services that you should look to create, the joint venture relationships that you should pursue, where you can market and advertise more effectively. Also, it will tell you the types of affiliate relationships and affiliate products that you can pursue to provide greater value as a one-stop shop or integrated solution to your clients. And it can also become a way for you to engage, let's say, or create private label products where you take a generic product and you put or a product developed by another company and you put your brand on it and it becomes seamless. So these are ways in which you can create greater value by becoming that one-stop shop for your customers. The next thing that we look at is the system side of your business. Realize that I'd say at any given point in time, at maximum, 20% of people are ready to buy your product or service. So if you don't have a system for following up with people, you're throwing away up to 80% of your business. So in the system side of your business, you need a way to, an automated way to generate leads, to qualify those leads and follow up with those leads. And that's a very important part of the system side of your business. You also want to look for ways in which you can outsource functions and create and or license a particular skill set within that business. So if you're looking at ways in which you can do the process development and the implementation, create those standard operating procedures that a, let's say, a lower wage person may be able to come into the business and do, or you may be able to outsource, you are able to lower your costs and also streamline the business so that you can focus on those core activities of a CEO as opposed to trying to wear all those hats yourself. The last thing that we look at when we're doubling a company's sales in less than 12 months is the messaging and how well that person describes the rational features and benefits of their product and service, as well as the emotional benefits. As much as 80% of purchasing decisions are made based on emotion. So it's important that you realize and that you accurately capture the emotional benefits of your product or service, as well as the rational benefits, particularly if you're in a commodity-based business that's where the product or service that you're selling is essentially undifferentiated in the marketplace, and people are struggling to sell the exact same product or service the exact same way.
Right. Excellent, excellent. So before we shift gears a little bit here, let me ask you this. What are the options that an entrepreneur has if they want to get in touch with you and have you do some coaching Do you have several different options in terms of coaching? Is it a 6-month program, a 30-day program, a 1-year program? What sort of programs do you have for entrepreneurs in terms of coaching programs or products, et cetera?
We have several different tracks, and typically what will happen is a person can call our toll-free number, which is 888-90-BARON. That's 888-90-BARON, or they can visit us online at baronseries.com, and I'll spell that for people, BARONSERIES.com, baronseries.com. There's a workshops and coaching section, and a person can pick the specific aspect of coaching they'd like to focus on. We do have wealth coaching, which can help you on the investing side as well as working out your personal finances. We do teach that the more knowledgeable you become on the personal finance side, it translates into your business, and the better investor you can become, the better business owner you'll be, and vice versa. And then we also have our business coaching and consulting track, and we have a lot of niche programs from everything for authors and speakers to people who are running online businesses to people who are running brick-and-mortar businesses on up to some more sophisticated entities. What we start out by doing is giving the person a needs assessment and a skills assessment. The needs assessment tells us exactly where that person is or where that business is, where they'd like to take that business, and what their time horizon is. It also tells us through the skills assessment what skills they have and or need to develop and what things make the most sense for us to do, what things make the most sense for that entrepreneur to do or that company to do, and what things make the most sense to outsource to a third party. From there, we have a learning goals checklist, and they pick the top priorities that they want to focus on, and they rank those. And then we begin to move through those through the sessions. We also support our coaching program with a series of workshop CDs that give that entrepreneur the necessary background information to be successful and get the most out of those coaching sessions. The coaching sessions are typically done in groups of 5, and they can be done and are built around that entrepreneur's lifestyle and schedule, so they can be done during the day, during the evening, or on the weekends, and they can be done once a week for 5 weeks. They can be done once every few weeks, or they can be done once a month for 5 months. It really doesn't matter as long as they do them in the year. And, of course, they can receive additional sessions afterwards. But the coaching sessions are designed to pay for themselves so that the entrepreneur can receive a return within those 5 sessions, and we support those by email as well. So we're typically very effective with those programs.
Excellent. It sounds like something that would benefit any entrepreneur, in my opinion, that they should get in touch with you so that you can help them take their business to the next level. There's something I wanted to mention to you or discuss with you, because it's such a hot topic now, is the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009, otherwise known as the stimulus package that Congress is working on right now. I'm assuming you have looked into it a little bit, and I'm wondering if you should you could give your thoughts on it. Is there anything in there that will benefit small business owners at this point in time as you understand it?
Well, I do think there are some opportunities for small business owners. Of course, they're looking at everything from the tax break side to small business owners who are on top of certain trends. Of course, the going green is a major trend. So those small business owners who are engaging and pursuing green initiatives, there are certainly going to be opportunities for you there. Now, just in terms of a broader context for the stimulus package, things are going to get very difficult for people moving forward, and that's one of the major reasons why I think everyone needs to have a small business, because you need to have multiple streams of income. And there are also, as we just mentioned, a number of very big tax advantages to running a small business, even if you have a full-time job on the side, because you can begin to adjust your withholdings, and that can increase your cash flow $100 to $200 a month based on those tax deductions that you're generating from that small business. But from a broader context, my personal concerns about a stimulus package is that you have to have the right team in place, and this goes down to individuals who are trying to stimulate their own personal financial situation, you have to have the right team around you and people who have the credibility and the capacity to actually deliver those solutions. And there needs to be some accountability and oversight, which is one of the things that the small business owner is typically missing. When we talk about accountability, you look at major companies, Fortune 100 companies, Fortune 500 companies, they have a board of directors which holds them accountable and makes sure that they're using the right strategies and using the right teams to grow the business. And that they're, let's say, if you look at a CEO, if he doesn't perform to a certain level, he's removed from that position. Well, these are some of the things that we are missing from a small business owner perspective because they don't really have anyone that's holding them accountable to say, use the right strategies and generate more income. So they usually just drag along without really leveraging the higher level skills and strategies and tools that can get them to their goals faster. But as a from a broader context, there are some fundamental things that are missing. One, the stronger push for people to buy American products and understand the value of buying American products. The number two, you need increased government incentives for companies to continue to employ workers within the U.S. And then number three, you also need the companies to increase the value of the products and services that they provide in the marketplace. And particularly when you're looking at things like the auto industry, where you have cars that are really subpar to many of the foreign products and services that are produced. So there are a lot of parallels with the small business owner. And then most importantly, you do need that PR campaign that's going to help the American public make wise decisions. It's not enough to tell people that they need to go out and spend. They need to, one, create value and buy the things that are going to be more helpful to themselves, to the economy, and also to the environment long term.
I see. So it will be interesting over the next days and weeks to find out how that happens. And I agree with you wholeheartedly that it feels as if the first half of the first major act did not get spent wisely, or it certainly did not seem to have much effect on the economy, the first 350 mil that was put out into the economy. Cool. So as we begin to wrap up here, William, what final words of advice would you give to an aspiring entrepreneur or an entrepreneur who just got started in terms of surviving and making it through these tough times?
Well, I would say in our work with tens of thousands of people across the U.S. and abroad, we found that there are seven major reasons that people struggle financially and struggle in business. The number one reason is the fact that they don't have a mentor or an advisor. Realize that a mentor or an advisor or a coach can show you the right way, can help you make needed connections and get to your goal a lot faster. The number two reason is that most people do not realize or do not believe in their heart and mind that they can change the condition of their life or their business starting from where they are. The number three reason is their network. Realize that your network is a direct reflection of your net worth, and one of the fastest ways to increase the revenues of your business and or your personal net worth as an entrepreneur is to change the people that you spend the majority of your time with. The fourth thing is to make sure that you're using the proper business model, a scalable business model that will allow you to bring other people into that business and to scale it so that you can franchise it, take it public, or sell it at some future date. Number five and six are knowledge and tools. Most people are not investing in the knowledge and tools that can get them to their goal that much faster. This is also something that a mentor, coach, or advisor can help you with, is identifying those knowledge and tools. And then the last thing is not doing the most important thing every day that will change the condition of your life or your business. And you have a lot of people that want to do the small things just to check an item off of a to-do list instead of doing the things that will bring in that $1 million or multi-million dollar account. That means calling on the CEOs as opposed to going after the $5 and the $50 deals. Or if you are going to go after the $5 and the $50 deals, you have to do it at a scale that can get you to $1 million or multi-million dollar revenue stream. So those are the seven reasons, and I would encourage people to really look at coaching, look at advisors and building a team, because there are people who know the right strategies. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can leverage these great business models in order to build your success and build your business rapidly.
That's excellent. And tell us again, how can we get in touch with you and having you help out a small entrepreneur?
Sure. Again, they can call toll-free 888-90-BARON. That's 888-90-BARON. They can also visit us online at baronseries.com, baronseries.com. And we're actually giving away more than $700 in free audio gifts from our homepage on baronseries.com. So I'd encourage people to take advantage of those as well.
Excellent. Thank you so much, William, for being with us today. It's been very enlightening and helpful, and I'm sure that my listeners have benefited from everything that you said. And much continued success to you, sir.
Dino, thank you very much. Happy to be with you.
Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Dino Herbert Show, Everyday Hero. Why don't you drop me a line and let me know what you thought about today's episode? You can also find me at dinoherbert.com for other books, recordings, and to book me to speak at your next engagement. It's always a pleasure having you here. And remember, I am passionate about people who are pursuing their potential.